We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You have to get away from the emotion and break things down. And the Penguins have just come off another 100-point season for 4 years in a row. And we feel we can continue to do that with most of the team that we have now. But what we didn't do is come together as a team and have that team chemistry that was necessary. And so some things have to change there. You have to change up a few players, and we have to approach things a little bit differently. We have a group of guys here. If we have the team chemistry and if you have the type of goaltending you need to win a cup, which Murray's already proven he can do that. He's done it twice. We can win again.
And that's Penguins general manager Jim Rutherford. Some clips you heard yesterday when he was on with the Cook and Joe show about his Pittsburgh Penguins having made the Dominic Cahoon swap, giving away Olli Maatta to the Chicago Blackhawks in the process. And that is an interesting pair of quotes. Yesterday, I was in a bit of a fog. You might say I am today, too, but I can see a little bit further in the fog. I have the right headlights on. I have my fog lights, not the high beams. I'm not blinded by what I see. And I feel like I didn't do those quotes the service that they deserved yesterday. That's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads 15 Packs, now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. In just under an hour, our Pirates insider and Penguins insider. Little double dip on both teams. Mitch Keller making his first start in Pittsburgh tonight as Leland Bowl Part 2 gets underway for a quick two-game set. And we also evaluate things with the Penguins and that Bob McKenzie salary cap report that you just heard in Eric's update. So that McKenzie thing is interesting. Might only be a $2 million bump, less than expected. Everyone's a little bit worried. GMs are thinking, wait, wheeling and dealing might be more difficult. And if you look at SpotTrac or anything else that covers salaries, cap-friendly, or whatever sites you want to call up, the Penguins have the second least cap room in the league, even after the Olli Maatta trade. And it's just north of $6 million. Vegas is actually over the cap right now. But then it's the Penguins. And then there's teams with literally 30-some million dollars that nobody wants to play for. That's why they have 30-some million dollars. They're never going to spend anywhere near all of it. But the Penguins' second lowest amount of cap room in the league, and it makes you wonder if Jim Rutherford consummated that trade partly because, yes, no one wants to take Jack Johnson, and partly because, like, Olli Maatta is obviously a more appealing prospect, and partly because he had a higher cap hit. And so you were saving a little bit more money than if you had been able to make some sort of straight-up deal involving Jack Johnson. And maybe Rutherford's being cognizant of the cap. But that's not why I played those two clips. There's a common through line in both of them. And if you've ever heard me talk about sports, you might know where this is going, and you know that I'm not happy about it. That through line is this. And Jim Rutherford built the team, so on some level, and the team has won two cups in some form or fashion, he has maxed out the core. I feel like I need to add that caveat here. But he talked about chemistry. He used the dreaded chem word. Now, yes, I failed 13 straight homeworks, quizzes, and tests in high school chemistry junior year, sophomore year. This is a fact. Oh, no, that was physics class. Same teacher taught chemistry, failed a lot of stuff in that one, too. I don't like chemistry. As a school subject, I don't particularly care for it as a sporting concept. And in the latter case, it's because it usually gets applied after the fact to deflect from the idea that a team either was good enough, wasn't good enough, or to bolster the fact that they were good enough. Had the Toronto Raptors, let's say, blown a 3-1 lead and lost to the Warriors, people would have said the following two statements. Well, clearly the Raptors had an issue with team chemistry here that they couldn't close the deal. Nick Nurse's ill-advised Game 5 timeout late hurt team chemistry. Conversely, you would have heard, while the Warriors, and this would have been at a fever pitch, even without Durant, you could see the team chemistry come together and really salvage that series for them. And boy, they showed what true championship metal and chemistry is all about. You rarely hear chemistry applied in the moment, right? You rarely hear it spoken of in other than like your average cliches in the actual moment. Guys will say, oh yeah, we get along great. This team has great chemistry, such and such. Yeah, we're just fighting for each other in the room here. It's along those blasé lines, really. Guys here just battle for each other. Guys here just, we really try to look out for one another. This is as close of a team as I've ever been on. I'd love to know if there's been a frequently traded player in like the NHL especially, because I feel like in the NHL it happens more than ever. You get a guy who has been traded, and everywhere he goes, I bet you there are some dudes that are like, yeah, this is a really close-knit team. You know, I've played on some other good teams. I played on some other teams that got along, but these guys are really close-knit. And then the next year for a different team. You know, I've played on some close-knit teams, but this one really is different in the way that they really talk to each other and really play for one another, right? So it gets applied in the moment a little bit like that, but by guys like Jim Rutherford who build the teams, whose stamp is on all of those players, I assembled this, this house needs to stand, it only really gets brought up after the fact. Jim Rutherford, we never really came together. But with this group of guys, if the chemistry's correct, we're good to go. It feels, at least to my reckoning, like the kind of thing you say when you're spitting in the wind a little bit and hoping that it doesn't blow back to you. When I hear Jim Rutherford say that in that clip, I get a little leery. And then when I hear that Bob McKenzie report come out about the cap maybe not rising as much as people thought, I get even learier because the two things seem connected to me. Maybe Rutherford's aware of the cap not going up as much as people thought, and he knows that he's going to have to come back with more of the team intact than he had planned to, even if he's going to make more deals, or he's going to come back with more money to spend, i.e. he's going to strip it down a little bit more. If Jim Rutherford, though, is taken at face value, and he thinks that the core of this team, a team that would then still have Phil Kessel, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Patrick Hornquist, Sidney Crosby, Jack Johnson, maybe lame duck year Justin Schultz, who's just going to walk in free agency, although that one seems fishy to me. That means he thinks that if they basically just want it more and get along better, they're going to be fine. If I were a Penguins fan hearing that, it would make me, well, I am a Penguins fan hearing that, so I should stop using that one. As a Penguins fan hearing that, I'm not thrilled, really. And I didn't really do it justice yesterday, but I thought more about what he said. And he's essentially saying the status quo is closer to okay than you might think out there among the hoi polloi. I don't know. I watched that team get swept and look like dogs out there against the Islanders. And had the Islanders gone on a magical Barry Trotz-fueled run to the Stanley Cup final and won the whole damn thing and we were playing Billy Joel instead of Gloria to celebrate their great accomplishments, only 80s Joel, of course, that would be one thing. But if you didn't notice, the Islanders got a skate shoved, well, you know, in the next round in four games. They got pummeled. They got boat raced. They got beaten just as badly as they beat the Penguins. I don't want to say they got humiliated because they weren't a team with the Penguins' level of expectations entering the playoffs. Getting past the first round was kind of gravy for them. If Jim Rutherford's really evaluating that team that went out like chumps in the first round, that lost their minds, that said all the right things beforehand, looking at you, Chris Letang, and then did all the wrong things in the moment, if he's looking at them and just saying, well, you know, if everyone gets along better, this should be a lot more workable this year. That's throwing the Hail Mary, isn't it? Or that is a signal, I think, if you're a fan, and you're a fan who wanted to see some change, that it's going to be more of the same. That the main cast of characters here, and I'm not talking about Crosby and Malkin, I won't even like lump those two in, but everybody else around their orbit or in orbit around those two is going to be largely the same. Tell me exactly, because by the way, all of these guys are going to get 1 year older. Tell me how exactly having that be your standard. Having that be your situation is going to be better. The Maple Leafs aren't... I know the Maple Leafs have some RFA issues, right? Okay. But they're still going to have Austin Matthews. They're still going to be a young team on the rise. The Bruins are probably going to get older and not be good, but the Islanders could be good next year again. They got here a little early, but that might just send them even more in the right direction. The Carolina Hurricanes suddenly look like a team starting to put a little bit of something together, right? I look at teams like the Flyers. Flyers should be improving. Carter Hart. I could run through the entire Metropolitan Division, and outside of the Rangers and the Devils, really, who are going to get a good draft pick this year at the top, and that's about it. You can look and see a threat everywhere. You can look and see a legit team just about everywhere. The Capitals are still the Capitals. So the fact that the general manager seems to think the Penguins can mostly stay the course, maybe make some moves here or there, some tweaks, but nothing major, and rely on chemistry, that's not what I wanted to hear. I actually went home, believe it or not. I went home and thought about this. I thought, he said all that, and I didn't really crush him for it, or I didn't really call it into question. I should have. Chemistry is not a good enough excuse or reason. I'm going to play this again for you. This is just sort of, this sounds like chuck it up there and hope.
We have a group of guys here. If we have the team chemistry and if you have the type of goaltending you need to win a cup, which Murray's already proven he can do that. He's done it twice. We can win again.
I don't agree with that. So basically, what the real part there maybe is, if our goalie gets unbelievably red hot in the playoffs and just carries us through at least two of the four series we'd have to win, well, we can win again. They're getting older. They're going to look much the same if you're reading between the lines. He didn't douse completely the idea of like trading Malkin or Letang or Hornquist, but I don't really think he's going to. If you're reading between the lines, it's going to be a team that looks very similar to the way they looked last year, that's going to be a year older than they were last year. And if Phil Kessel comes back, whether people say he's loved in the dressing room or not, is going to have at least one of their main players not all that much on the same page with the head coach. How exactly does that translate to a winning formula? I will wait. I will try to figure that out. I think you can, though, make a reasonable assumption that perhaps Jim Rutherford knows that that salary cap isn't going up very much and he's more stuck with some of these contracts than he would otherwise like to be. Who knows, though? Maybe I'll be completely proven wrong. It happens, what, at least once a week, probably? Make sure you follow us on Twitter, won't you? You should! At 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations, North Huntington, the North Hills, especially for these couple of hours, because Craig is the one running the feed. Which means it's all crappy Barstool memes and articles from sites that are like basketball, like verbalfistfight.com on why Michael Jordan is better than LeBron James. No? That's not what you'd throw down?
No, that one made me angry today.
Oh, man. Before we, you know what? This actually has relevance to what I'm going to bring up. So MLB Network is on one of the TVs in here almost in perpetuity. I have no idea. I guess because it's baseball season and football season, it's NFL Network. And then when I'm in here, I sometimes just turn on NBA TV to screw with people. But they had like Fred McGriff talking to the studio crew. And he was down at IMG Academy in Bradenton. And Fred McGriff, whatever, he was wearing like a very bright red hat that had some sort of logo on it that for whatever company he works for now. And Fred McGriff also, by the way, looks like he's about 26. It wigs me out, actually, that he looks so young, because I think he's got to be 50 to 55, right? We thinking McGriff's in his 50s? Has to be. And the hat rides very high on his head. 55, double nickels? I was right on the money. The hat is riding very high on his head. I tweeted a picture of this. And I'm sorry, but if you are of a certain age, the only thing you think of with Fred McGriff is either him like playing for the Braves, ripping your heart out maybe with a couple home runs if you're a Pirates fan, although that was a little bit before his time with Atlanta. He was with the Padres still back then, I think, with Sheffield. If you're of a certain age, though, you imagine Fred McGriff standing there looking probably about as young as he does today somehow, pointing at the screen wearing a teal hat and you finding out about the back-to-back-to-back AAU national champions with Tom Emanski's baseball DVDs. You remember these kids doing these goofy fundamental drills, hitting soft toss, throwing balls into garbage cans at home plate? I'll be honest, man. I don't know about you, Craig. Every time I watched those videos, I thought, man, those kids could kick my ass at baseball. I always got so jealous, like, when you're a kid, you think all of those kids do that every time. Like, every throw is perfect, and you don't think about how many times some director was having to force himself not to scream at them, kid, throw the ball in the garbage can!
Yeah, you don't realize the wonders of editing.
You just think somebody says, hey, kids, practice, and then they're all doing it flawlessly.
Bang, bang,
yeah.
Bang, bang, hit the can every time.
Looks like the East German baseball team from 1977.
Yeah, they're like robots.
Go look at my Twitter feed. Maybe Craig will retweet it from the 93.7 The Fan account to pay off what I said to start the segment. It looks like McGriff is, I hope he's doing it in his own mind, thinking like somebody out there is going to realize I'm rocking this hat just like in the Emanski videos. Like, I want that to be the crime dog's motivation for this. So speaking of fundamentally sound plays, baseball is what? The shift is killing baseball. Analytics are killing baseball. Advanced access to spray charts are killing baseball. Which, as a fan of all of those things, I can tell you, just an ability to disseminate the information we always had is killing baseball, right? Analytics gets thrown around like it's some fancy magic word. It's really just, no, we have much more powerful computers that don't require floppy disks, and we have much smarter people running baseball teams who are actually putting all this data to use. It's like whenever somebody says, oh, Facebook's harvesting your data, and you're like, well, what does that matter? And then you get a targeted ad for shoes without laces because your phone heard you say it. And then you buy the shoes because they're on sale and there's free shipping. That's why data matters. Anyway, I digress yet again. You say analytics are killing baseball. You say the shift is killing baseball. You say all these things are killing baseball. You know what's killing baseball? When a team gives a guy literally an entire half of the infield that he doesn't just slap the ball that way. Or in Matt Carpenter's case, and this was glorious last night, the Marlins, I believe it was, were playing them, and they shifted Carpenter to the entire pull side of the infield, right? They just had the field stacked with people. So Matt Carpenter just laid down like a push bunt down the third baseline, like a hard bunt. And the best part about it was there was quite literally nobody even close to the ball so that the pitcher, who the ball rocketed past, had to go running out for it. And had he not run out for it, Matt Carpenter would have ended up with a stand-up bunt triple. And as it was, he ended up with a bunt double. A stand-up double, and the ball maybe went 110 feet rolling on the ground. Would you watch baseball more, Craig, if you could guarantee, because I would, if you could guarantee dudes would try this kind of stuff more often, like try to game the system, I would watch it more.
If baseball was only small ball, I wouldn't. But baseball is all about hitting home runs, so it's like a novelty that a guy does something like that, and I love it.
If people want to see the sport turn away from home runs, they're in for a rude awakening. Like, it's always going to be here because it actually makes sense. And people hate that it's the three true outcomes. It's a walk, a homer, or a strikeout, right? But if you do want to see in more practical applications action happening, just wish for guys to stop going to still say, I'm going to pull, like Bell will have people playing him hard pull from the left side. And sometimes he'll just hit the ball through the shift. Get the guys that are good enough to be shifted on by teams, right? But that also can't like just try to hit home runs anyway. And Carpenter can hit some home runs. I think he led the league a couple years ago, I want to say. But get those guys to actually do stuff to make teams stop shifting. You want to beat analytics? Do the things that analytics is letting you do and then force them to stop. Carpenter bunts that ball 5 times in a row successfully and gets 5 stand-up doubles that don't ever leave the infield on the fly. I think they'd stop doing it. You got to look at this Fred McGriff hat, by the way. You have to. It's truly a glorious hat. And Fred, I swear to God, Fred McGriff looks like he's maybe 30. He looks younger than me. Would you agree, Craig? And I think I look pretty young for my age.
No, he looks great.
I got carded on Father's Day.
Where?
We went out to eat.
Do you want to say it or
not? No, I mean, we went out to eat because my father-in-law and his family wanted to, like my stepmother-in-law wanted to take us to Primanti's because it was the free sandwich thing. So she's like, oh, yeah, I'll take you guys out to eat. So I got a beer. and they carded me. I was holding Lennox and ordered a beer, and they carded me. Very pleased.
I sometimes get carded if I'm wearing a hat. Sans hat, it is very obvious then at that point that I'm not under 21.
No, no. No, 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 no. I got it. I got carded. I think I'm pretty young looking. I get carded everywhere. All right. Fred McGriff, though. I got nothing on Fred McGriff. He looks like he's 30. Coming up, it has become somewhat habitual to do a Phil Kessel update on this show at 2:40. And up next, by way of doing a Phil Kessel update, we will ask and try to answer a very elemental, existential question about Phil Kessel. Stay close. In 15 minutes, the latest as the run-up to Mitch Keller's first home start continues. He'll take on the former Fightin' Jim Leland's Detroit Tigers, who are... Whew, the Tigers suck. But the Tigers know they suck. And the plan was for the Tigers to suck, which might get me to something else a little bit later in the show. Jason Mackey at 3 o'clock. We have a lot of other things as well. In about 45 minutes, a professional athlete commits a major party foul. Major. And we might be able to speak to it with some experience. What happened to this particular person. That's in about 45 minutes. Right now, though, it has unofficially become 2:40. Like, we had officially Game of Thrones was talked about at 2:30 for a while, and that's when I would legitimately, if those of you who wonder, like, are we doing bits sometimes? Like, when I say I'm storming out of the studio, do I actually storm out of the studio? And you probably assume, no, they don't. They're professionals. No, I actually, like, walk down to our small kitchen and make myself something to eat while Craig and Pony talk Game of Thrones. Fair? Like, I'm, don't play that because I'm tempted to just, like Pavlov's dog, get up and walk out of the studio. So that was our 2:30 segment during the, 6 weeks that horrifyingly torturous last season ran. 2:40 has become sort of an unofficial Phil Kessel update tracker segment for us, right? But today in the Phil Kessel update tracker, we're not necessarily going to track anything about him in trades. At least, we're going to go with something a lot more elemental. And it starts with this clip.
He's been a really good player for us. We wouldn't have won the Cups without him. He's an impact player. He will be for a few more years. And so we'll see how that plays out. I mean, the biggest thing is, from a team point of view, you can't have the player controlling the trade, because if you do, it's not going to work out for the team.
All right, that was Jim Rutherford yesterday, Cook and Joe, talking about what? Phil Kessel. Of course, and he controls trades because he's got a no movement clause, submits a list of 8 teams that he will accept a trade to, etc. But he also said he's a productive player and will be for a couple more years. So we have to answer this question because it has been hotly debated. Did Phil Kessel have a good 2018? Craig, would you like to take a side on this?
Yes, he did.
Oh, man, you are one. I have no idea if you actually believe what you're saying. I know you pretty well, and I think you're out of your mind, so I think that you do believe what you're saying. He had 82, and that is going to be the first thing people wield. Yeah, thank you. He had a point per game, Chris. What is Phil Kessel's binary responsibility? Or what is? How do you define a good Phil Kessel game, basically? It's a binary option. One of two things. Did Phil Kessel score? Probably had a good game. Did Phil Kessel not score? Probably didn't have a good game. It isn't like Crosby in the 2016 finals against the Sharks, a couple years ago, where he didn't put up a ton of points, but he was so dominant at both ends of the ice that he was for a lot of people, he was the obvious choice to win the Conn Smythe based on the strength of his work in that series. It was one of those tour de force efforts of, if you can talk about a guy who doesn't stuff a stat sheet but is very obviously the best player on the ice, Crosby was that. Phil Kessel's not that way. Scoring goals? Good. Not scoring goals? Bad. When do you want him to be scoring goals? Late in the season into the playoffs, right? Phil Kessel. I like arbitrary cutoff days because they help me support my arguments. He scored a goal on January 30th. Then the month of February kicked in. Phil Kessel did not score another goal from January 30th until March 7th. He went a month and a week without scoring. And then in the month of March, he notched a total of three more. Such that from February 1st through April 2nd, Phil Kessel scored four goals. Four. And then he scored two against Detroit in the second to last game of the regular season, but who cares? He scored one in the first game of the playoff series, and then obviously the Penguins went to hell. If Phil Kessel is defined by, and I understand that goals to some extent, goals that happen in the early part of the regular season count just the same as the ones that happen later in the regular season. You don't just take those away from him. That's why his stat sheet is what it is. Like, if you're evaluating this man, you don't look for things in the margins. He was a minus player. He scored 27 goals, and four of those happened in a two-month span. A total of four happened from February 1st to April 2nd. If you go from February 1st until the end of the season, he had six. So pre-February 1st, October, November, December, January, 23 or 21 goals. All right, not bad. The rest of the way, six. Not good. Verdict is in. I hate to say it. It pains me, Craig. Phil Kessel, not a good season. That's one of those things really quickly here to tie this all together where Jim Rutherford talks chemistry and Jim Rutherford falls back on that sort of line of thinking and says, well, that's why we're going to be better this coming year. That's why we can be better because the team can come together better than they did. When he's saying that, he's suggesting a similar looking outfit to the one that you saw last year can be better just because. Like it's magic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.